Football America, live and underway here on ESPN. Alongside Hercules Gomez, I'm Sebastian Salazar. This is episode 352, where we celebrate good soccer and good dancing. How about those moves from Ernie Stewart as PSV clinched the Eredivisie Championship over the weekend, Hercules?
I guess I shouldn't be surprised. I used to watch Ernie Stewart dance with the ball. Remember 1994 World Cup? That man had some moves, so it doesn't really surprise me that he still has a few moves of his own to show the young lads over there. And congratulations to them. What a job.
You got something to show the young lads. What are you wearing over there?
You see this beautiful piece of Hummel right here? This is Hummel's. It's the OC. It's their Magic of the Cup kit. Mm. So it's inspired by, like, the kits back in the 1910s. Because, as you know, the very little history we do have here, the majority of it belongs to the U.S. Open Cup, which has been around for, like, 109 years. So homage to them. They play tomorrow night, by the way. Luton United, I believe. Is that what it's called? Yeah, Luton United FC tomorrow night in the round of 32 in the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup.
Good a beautiful kit, Herc. A meaningful kit.
Orange County, let's go.
But ain't nothing can touch this, old boy. Huh? Look at that. La Época Dorada. The golden years. Or one of the many golden years of America.
Does it say Chanfle on the back?
Does it say what?
Chanfle.
No, it doesn't. You want to see what it says on the back?
What does it say?
Ooh, I don't want to knock this thing over.
Brailovsky.
That's a Wikipedia and a history lesson for you younger kids out there.
Yeah, let's see if you make it out of this episode if you run away as well.
Oh, steady, man. You're unbelievable. Coming up in this edition of Football Americas, we got Ali Krieger is going to join us, talk about Orlando going top of the table in the National Women's Soccer League. They have usurped Kansas City as the top seed right now in the NWSL. Plus, we're going to talk Liga MX playoffs. The quarterfinal matchups are set. We got a very tasty rematch. Well, some might say it's a tasty rematch. Others might be, to Herc's point, running scared. We'll talk about that in a little bit, but let's start with a man who often leads the show here on Football Americas. That is one Lionel Messi. What a day he had over the weekend. Inter Miami taking on the New York Red Bulls. New York actually had the lead in this game. They were up 1-0 at the half, but Messi would get things going here with a pretty simple assist to Matias Rojas, sir.
Yeah, the Paraguayan, you know, coming on. It's a little nice assist. It's very simple, and then you're going to see Messi kind of get his goal, but he stole the show. And it's with these ridiculous passes like this one. How does he see that? He's not even looking at the lane. It's between like five different players to find Rojas. The finish is exquisite. That's neither here nor there. It's the pass. How does he see that lane? I don't understand it.
Yeah, how about Rojas, man, coming on as a sub at half, gets a goal 3 minutes in, and then gets involved with Messi, and then Messi doing the rest. You know all about this partnership, Herc. Wherever Luis Suarez is, Messi's gonna find him. Suarez with a hat trick in this game.
I mean, it's PlayStation stuff. This is what you do when you're playing like FIFA, you know, on Xbox or PlayStation. You're messing around. You're looking for these link-ups, these combos. We've seen it a lot of times in Barcelona, but when you see it firsthand, just at this age on display, it makes you think like it's all FIFA, PlayStation stuff.
Five assists then on the night for Lionel Messi, a new single game record in Major League Soccer. What does it say about Messi? What does it say about Inter Miami? And maybe beyond that, what does it say about the competition they were going up against on Saturday night?
Yeah, I don't need to add anything more to Messi's legacy. You know, him doing this or not in Major League Soccer is not going to stain or break or make who he is as a player and that legacy. What I will say is this is great for many that he succeeds in Major League Soccer. You needed to see a Messi who was succeeding in Major League Soccer. Nobody wanted to see a rundown, old, weathered Messi. That's not who he is. That's not what we want to see on display when he's in the States. You can see right here, he is taking over. He is the man. He's the greatest of all time. He's doing it again. Now, as good as this is for Major League Soccer to succeed when it comes to Messi, will Messi have success on the field? It's equally as embarrassing to the casuals who don't know nothing about Major League Soccer, who only tune into Major League Soccer because of Lionel Messi. When they see a player of this age doing this to one of the best teams in the league, not just any other team, one of the best teams in the league, having this kind of performance, many will say you should be used to Messi embarrassing opponents. Fine, but many casuals out there will just say, this is the level of Major League Soccer. Look what this version of Messi is doing to Major League Soccer. He's the first player in Inter Miami's history to reach 10 goals, 10 assists in a season. He's only played 10 games. He's got about 6 more months of season left. He is embarrassing, like I said last week, in Major League Soccer opponents. And to many casuals who don't pay attention to the league will think this is a reflection of the league, this level.
I disagree a little bit. I think on the line between domination, which we pretty much expected Lionel Messi to do, right, and humiliation, five assists in a game sounds like humiliation, but it's not every week, Herc. He's not dropping a hat trick every week. If he was doing five assists every game, then yeah, we could talk about, oh, it's making the league look bad. But for all that Messi is bringing the league, the fact that he drops five assists and gets a bunch of headlines, that's not a bad thing. To me, the big takeaway here is that Messi's getting better. And I don't mean that he's becoming a better soccer player here in MLS, but he's getting better at making the most of the guys around him. I think actually what we saw there in the second half with Matias Rojas, think about it. That's a guy, Herc, who was signed 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Him and Messi already look like, you know, they've been playing together for a decade. And Messi's also getting better at taking advantage of the opposition. And one of the fun things about MLS, it's not a good thing or a bad thing, it's just, it's fun, is that teams are aggressive and they will go and they will try to play and they will be somewhat reckless defensively. And I think a lot of MLS teams, you can get away with that because the finishing, Herc, in MLS is not all that good. But the finishing here with Inter Miami is. And so even a team like the New York Red Bulls, who are aggressive but who are pretty decent, if they don't play well against a team like Inter Miami, they're going to ship 4, 5, and 6 goals. And so we're starting to see that. That, to me, is the scary part here if you're the rest of MLS. This dude is dropping 5 assists against the New York Red Bulls. There's much worse competition, and I think there's a lot more that you can get out of him. And the other big storyline here for me is Luis Suarez. Now, I felt very good because I said golden boot Luis Suarez. But remember, Herc, after 2 weeks of watching this dude play, I was ready to cash out on that bet. So the fact that he's dropping a hat trick here and you've got Messi firing on all cylinders, you list me right now the teams that can compete with this Inter Miami and MLS. I think there's two, and the second I'm not sure about. I think it's the Crew and maybe LAFC, depending on what they do this summer. Other than that, I don't see anybody in MLS competing with this.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Go ahead, name them.
I mean, I'd love to throw the Galaxy in there. I still think they're doing very well. Listen. The problem with Inter Miami is you never know what you're going to get. The team looks completely different because they keep adding players. Rojas is quite a steal. He's a Paraguayan who's been playing in Argentina for quite some time. They got him on a bargain, whatever you want to say. He comes over with his own problems. And he looks like he's been with this team for years. He looks like he's been with Messi for the longest of times, and he fits right in. Luis Suarez, I told you not to drink the Kool-Aid that he was done, that he had no knees. Mm-hmm. That, to me, was just, I need to get to Miami. How do I get to Miami? I got a bum knee. I'm looking to retire, because that's exactly what the headline said. I'm looking to spend time with my family. I have pain when I play, et cetera, et cetera. He's tearing the league a new one, just like Messi is. This is good for Major League Soccer when Messi and Suarez are good for Major League Soccer. We stated that from the beginning of this experiment, that in order for this to be successful, they needed to be successful on the field. Nobody wanted to see Messi, a weathered and old Messi, on the field. That's not what you want out of the greatest of all time. You don't want to leave with that lasting image. But sometimes, Seb, sometimes you see him do this and you have to wonder, is he making Major League Soccer look bad? Because there are casuals out there who don't have context, who don't know about the injury history, who don't know about the salary cap, who don't know about the limitations, and they'll say, where was this against that Mexican team, Rayados? So you're telling me he can do this against Major League Soccer opposition, but he's not going to do that against Liga MX opposition? What does that tell me about the level of Major League Soccer? And that, to me, can be damning. It's great to see Messi run circles around players because he's the greatest all time, and he's been doing that forever. But there are those casuals, just like some you or somebody else may see the Saudi Pro League and see what Cristiano does to them and question that level.
6-2, the final score against the New York Red Bulls as Inter Miami and Lionel Messi. Still first place in the Eastern Conference. And Herc, as of right now, the most points in all of Major League Soccer. And by the way, they got this W with no Jordi Alba. So the four superstars not in the lineup, and they're still churning and burning against Eastern Conference competition. Let's go over to Europe, where PSV clinched their 25th Eredivisie title over the weekend as they beat Sparta Rotterdam 4-2. On Sunday, Herc, Ricardo Pepi didn't start this game, but he did come in off the bench and actually got an assist in the second half.
Yeah, for club legend, Eredivisie MVP, Luke De Jong. It's been that kind of season for Luke. It's been very difficult for Ricardo Pepi to get on the field because of the likes of Luke De Jong, but good to see him get on and got his assist. Look at Malik Tillman right there with a good entry ball.
PSV, Dutch champions for the first time since 2018 as they win 4-2 over Sparta Rotterdam on Sunday. Look at what it means. Look at the hardware. Let's hear from PSV's triumphant American trio.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Yeah, a lot of happiness, to be honest. You know, I knew that, you know, coming to one of the best teams in the Netherlands, if not the best team, you know, we were going to be champions, and that's the reason why I came here to PSV, to be champion, and, you know, it's a great day today.
So next season, are you going to keep fighting for a place in the starting basis?
Yeah, hopefully I can get more minutes, but of course I'll keep fighting and working hard.
I wanted to know and ask you if you feel comfortable at this club. Do you want to stay?
Yeah, I mean, I feel very comfortable. I think I've had a great season so far. But yes, the thing is, it's more up to the club than it's to me. So I can't really say anything to that.
Yeah, I have the brace on, so I'm really happy. I'm really proud of the team. You know, unfortunately this happened, but yeah, things happen in life, so I have to accept it, and I did. But yeah, this is an amazing atmosphere, and we have so many fans here in the city. It's booming, you know, it's totally full. So yeah, this was a really nice day. One of the best, the best day that I'm here in PSV.
Herc, PSV, Dutch champions featuring three American players and built by an American in Ernie Stewart. What do you make of it?
Can I start off with Ernie Stewart really quickly? It's remarkable what he's done. And you know, they took a chance on Ernie Stewart. Ernie Stewart comes in, picks the manager. Ernie Stewart comes in, takes chances on guys like Sergiño Dest, who didn't really go well at Barcelona, didn't go well at AC Milan. He wasn't playing at Milan. Says, we can trust this kid, bring him in. I think he will be good for this club. He was. Brings in Malik Tillman from Scotland, you know, that level, and says, this is a guy that we can trust in the center midfield, and he will do good things for us. He does. Hell of a season. Brings in a Ricardo Pepi, you know, while he did have a second go in the Netherlands, a second breath, if you will, second lease on life. In the Bundesliga, it didn't go his way, you know, so one could argue that at a bigger club, maybe it wouldn't go his way either. Takes a risk on him. it ends up paying off when Luke DeJong's not available. He comes on, he had 9 goals, you know, off the bench, this guy pretty much. A big Champions League goal. And then Chucky Lozano. There are those who could argue that Chucky Lozano maybe didn't command that type of transfer fee, took a chance on him, he's there, they win a title. You have to tip your hat to Ernie Stewart and what he's done there. Now, I touched a little bit on each one individually, but collectively what they've done, they didn't just win a title, they dominated a league. Mm. Each one had their own contributions throughout, and it was very impressive to see.
Yeah, I think we got to focus on Ernie Stewart. I mean, he really stuck his neck out for the American player. You can imagine a guy going into a job, fresh off the U.S. job, and everybody's saying, who's he going to go after here? Americans? Had this gone wrong, you know how it would have been painted. That's not a knock on the Dutch press. That's any press. If you're a guy from a country and you're bringing in other players from that country, they better be good. He stuck his neck out for the American player, and he was rewarded for it. And let's not just talk about what they did in the league, Herc. Let's talk about what they did in the continent as well, getting to the knockout stages of champions. And remember that round of 16 showdown with Dortmund. It's not really decided until stoppage time of the second leg. And Dortmund, by the time people watch this, might be in a Champions League final.
Yeah.
So let's give him a lot of credit for what he was able to do. There are few American coaches, few American managers. But when you talk about executives, Herc, there's almost nobody doing this like what Ernie Stewart has done. So I think he's probably opened some doors in that part of the world and maybe opened some doors all around the world for the American executive, which is going to help American managers and American coaches. The one mistake he makes is Chucky Lozano, but it doesn't cost him very much because they do get the title. I think that's really the big question now for Ernie Stewart moving forward. Is he going to be able to rebuild this team? Because the guys we're talking about, the Americans, two of them are on loan. Chucky Lozano, we know, is pretty much on his way out. And the one guy that's not on loan, Ricardo Pepi, either between him, Herc, or his agent, has been the most vocal about being unhappy at PSV. So I'm curious about what's next, especially with Pepi.
Listen, Pepe's at a critical moment in his career. If we're talking about just club level, we have no idea what happens to Luke DeJong. He's coming off of MVP performance in the Eredivisie. He's going to have to bide his time. Wait, will he stay? I don't know. But when it comes to Pepe and the national team, I had him when everybody was talking about Follering Balogun, Ricardo Pepi. I had him U.S. men's national team number 9, number 1. That's where I had Ricardo Pepi. And we thought it was a two-horse race. Well, there are some other horses that have entered this race since then. If we're realistically thinking about this summer with Ricardo Pepi, Copa America, there have been reports of the Copa America rosters going from 23 to 26. If they do go from 23 to 26, no doubt you will see 4 forwards in that picture, if that happens. But right now, I don't think anybody can pencil in Ricardo Pepi as forward number 1. You look at the U.S. men's national team versus Jamaica semifinal of the CONCACAF Nations League. It's Ricardo Pepi coming on minute 63 for Follering Balogun. In that game, it's Haji Wright who steals the show. It's Haji Wright who gets his goals. And then it's Haji Wright who starts the final in the biggest game in Ricardo Pepi's mind against Mexico in that final. He starts. Follering Balogun is the guy who comes on for him. Ricardo Pepi is an unused sub. I have to assume that with the limited amount of time that Ricardo Pepi has had, that if he goes to Copa America with the hot hand that is Haji Wright and the context that was the Nations League, and Josh Sargent, who was initially on that roster and not Haji Wright, Greg Berhalter is going to stick with the hot hand, those two players, those two very informed players, and a player who he recruited. It could be a very difficult moment for Ricardo Pepi when it comes to playing time. So I think Ricardo Pepi has to be one of the players that is used in the Olympic roster, has to be a player. At 21 years of age, it just makes sense. You're not going to use an overaged reinforcement, overaged player slots on Ricardo Pepi because he has the age. So you can save that 9 position for a player like Ricardo Pepi who can do some damage for you and who needs this confidence desperately. He can use this platform to hopefully set himself up for next season.
We'll see if PSV goes for it. PSV and Ricardo Pepi, champions of the Eredivisie with a couple games left to go. Let's stay in the Eredivisie. The now former champions, Feyenoord, won 5-0, Herc, on Sunday against Svolle. Santiago Jimenez did not start the game, but he did come on. And right after he entered the match, he had a penalty. That's a nice introduction.
He He missed his last one, not missing this one. Gets on the scoreboard. There he is. Oh, is that an assist for him?
That's right, an assist from a set piece. Look at that, the near post danger man flicking it onto the back post, picking up an assist to make it 4-0 there. And then a beauty from Santiago Jimenez working his way through the Svola defense to make it 5-0. 23 goals, 6 assists in league play for Feyenoord this season. Let's hear from Santi postgame.
Well, how does it feel?
It's nice because this is who I am, and I think I need to come in the pitch always with this sharp, and today, thanks God that he gave me the 2 goals.
Did you have any doubts, because it was not as good as in the first half of the competition?
Doubts?
Yeah.
No, not doubts of me. I always trust on myself, in my family that always support me, in God. But sometimes the thing doesn't go like you wanted, no? You need to keep fighting, you need to keep going, and that's what that's why today I thanks to God that I score again.
2 goals and an assist in 20 some minutes of play. What Santiago Jimenez got to do between here and the Copa America, Herc, to get that starting job for Mexico?
That's the million-dollar question. I don't understand it. I don't understand how Santiago Jimenez could be so good at a level like Europe, so good at the Europa League, so good when he's had Champions League minutes, and yet when it comes to the Mexican national team, not get a consistent run of time. And people could say, well, he doesn't take advantage of those moments. That's not true necessarily. He doesn't have 3 or 4 games where he's going to get those games, and no matter what, he's going to get a chance to play. He gets a chance, then he's out. It's Jimmy Lozano rather trust Henry Martin, who's 32 years old this summer. He'd rather trust a 34-year-old Raul Jimenez, both players who will be mid-30s and beyond come the 2026 World Cup, than trust a Santiago Jimenez at 23 years of age. Yet the most critical moment, the most important moment, hell, the moment that got Jimmy Lozano the job with the Mexican national team coach, it was Santiago Jimenez with a moment of brilliance in the dying moments of the Gold Cup final against Panama at SoFi Stadium, and he can't be that guy. He's 23 right now. He's going to be the forward not only of the future, but has the present to back it up, where teams like Milan and Spurs are looking at him, but for whatever reason, Jimmy Lozano doesn't trust him the way he trusts Henry Martin, doesn't trust him the way he trusts Raul Jimenez. So I don't even know how to answer that question for you.
In terms of what he could do, I mean, you would think keep scoring. There's a couple games left, but, I mean, he scored this whole time. What, is getting to 30 goals across all competitions, is getting to 25 in the league, is that going to make some magic? The one thing I was thinking here, Herc, because you know how perception is such a big part of kind of decisions when it comes to the national team. What if he makes a move before Copa America? The transfer window opens, I think, 1 week before Copa America. We know that usually deals happen at the end of the transfer window, but there's a lot of interest around Santiago Jimenez. We saw that his agents were in Milan. He's at the Spurs-Arsenal game. He's clearly being shopped around. So if that move happens before Copa America starts, and Jimmy Lozano has on his roster a guy who's playing in the Premier League or Serie A or La Liga, you telling me that he's not going to be the starter when all we hear from Mexican soccer coaches, analysts, pundits, you name it, is you got to have guys in Europe doing big things. And here's what I think, Herc. I think it's much easier for the Mexican press, who does make an argument for Henry Martin to be the starter, and also for Jimmy Lozano, when he sits in front of his board and looks at his options, to say, you know what? I think that Liga MX and the Eredivisie are about the same. And I don't know if they're right or wrong, but they think that. But no one can think that Liga MX and Premier League or Serie A or La Liga is about the same. And if Santi makes the jump beforehand, Jimmy Lozano, who was in charge of rejuvenating this team, and especially after the beatdown that they got against the U.S. with Henry Martin in the starting lineup, everybody told us, no, now Jimmy has no restrictions. He can totally make the team. None of the sacred cows are untouchable anymore. Well, come on. If you're going to rejuvenate a team and you got a 23-year-old with 23 league goals in the Eredivisie who's worth 50 million euros to somebody, that's where you start. If you don't start there, you're not rejuvenating the team. So I hope he makes a move before the Copa America and really puts some pressure on not just Jimmy, but the Mexican press to say, hey, this guy is better than Henry Martin. Let's be honest about Henry Martin. And look at me. I love Henry Martin. He's 31 years old. He never left Mexico, Herc. And 5 years ago, we were having conversations whether he was good enough to be the starting nine at America when he was in his prime. It's a different level.
He's in his prime now. Let me ask you a question. Sebi Salazar has to win a game. One game.
Santiago.
Here's the problem. Jimmy Lozano, to keep his job, has to do something at Copa America. He doesn't think Santiago Jimenez can be that guy.
He just played the United States with Henry Martin. How did that go? They looked terrible. They couldn't get anything together. You want to save your job, try something different, right?
I would. I mean, if you try the same thing and you get the same results, you're not trying hard enough. Yeah, it's crazy.
All right, so Santiago Jimenez there ends his scoring drought off the bench for Feyenoord in the Eredivisie. Let's move to Serie A, where Christian Pulisic is turning in a great, and I mean great, campaign. He had a seventh Serie A assist of the season. That's a career high for league play. Herc, it came late in this one, a 3-3 draw for AC Milan against Genoa.
Listen, he's in between four players. He unshifts defenders. He moves like tactical lines. Look at the most delicate of chips to the back door. It's a very good finish, but it's a setup, and I would say easy finish for a player of Giroud's caliber because of that pass from Christian Pulisic. Excellent vision.
So Christian Pulisic, career high assists when it comes to league play, career high in goals when it comes to all competitions. What should we expect from him, with the U.S. this summer in the Copa America?
Listen, I know you love him in the number 10 position.
He did play the number 10 in this game, by the way.
He came as a number 10 position. He's got more weapons
at his
disposal.
Go ahead, tell me I was right.
You're not right. He's having a career year. He's in the form of his life. Mm-hmm. And 95% of that form of his life has come from the right-hand side, and you want to take him to that 10th spot where he will do no good for the U.S. men's national team because you're going to take Gio out of the 10th spot?
I'm not necessarily suggesting it for the U.S. I just love him in the 10 for club.
You shouldn't even think about it for the U.S. men's national team. I don't want to see him competing with Giovanni Reyna at the number 10 spot. I think Giovanni Reyna, has a higher ceiling, but is also a better 10. And I want both of them on the field. I want Gio, like he's proven when he's got a run of games, anywhere he's been, where he's got a clean bill of health, and they give him an opportunity to impact the game the way he does, to make others around him better. He's going to make Christian Pulisic better. I know you've got a soft spot for Christian Pulisic at the 10. Mm-hmm. And I know that Pioli right now in his final days is experimenting with that. And it could be more because Chukwueze is having a second go and is doing very well. And he wants more, better attacking options at all levels across that front line. But Christian Pulisic in a career year for the U.S. men's national team should not be in that 10 spot. He's got to be on the wings, and it's got to be Giovanni Reyna, and he will continue to have that career year. He's proven at the club level. He keeps doing it at the national team level. Don't move him into a position where it impacts somebody else like that.
In this game, by the way, I know we just showed you the assist. I mean, he was very, very active. Had a shot off the post, had another shot that drew a pretty big save. I think Christian Pulisic's in for a big Copa America. He's a big game guy for the U.S., Herc. We saw it at the World Cup, and I would be shocked if he doesn't have a big, big Copa America this summer coming off this season for this team. You agree?
I think if the U.S. men's national team is going to do anything special, it's on the back of Christian Pulisic because he is that big game player, like you said. They've got the benefit of opening with Bolivia, and then it's Panama, and then they close against Uruguay. They may not even need to win that Uruguay game, to win the group. But even if they win the group, pick your poison. Brazil, Colombia, it won't be easy. He'll need to be at his best.
Christian Pulisic, assist on the weekend as AC Milan settles for a 3-3 draw with Johan Vasquez's Genoa, of all people. What a CONCACAF matchup there. Let's run it back with more action from around CONCACAF. And our CONCACAFers over in Europe, Chris Richards. This one coming in hot from Monday with his first Premier League assist as Crystal Palace beat the living daylights, Herc, out of Manchester United.
I mean, this is sad for Manchester United. I don't even know where to start. I was going to say something about Casemiro, but it just makes me sad. Chris Richards just picking them apart with this pass.
They're saying Casemiro's ready for MLS.
Or... Yeah, I heard that. Yeah, or the Saudi Pro League. I don't think they meant it in a good way either. Chris Richards, great assist.
All right, to the Bundesliga, Brendan Aaronson with his first Bundesliga assist of the season. Came in a losing effort. Union Berlin fell 4-3 against Bochum.
Does this not surprise you that this is his first assist of the season?
It does, yeah. Two goals and one assist on the year for Brendan Aaronson in league play.
Yeah, wow, that's going to hurt. And if anybody needs their confidence up, it's Brendan Aaronson, who at one point in time was Mr. Football Americas.
Mr. Run It Back, yeah. Haji Wright got his seventh league assist in the championship on Saturday as Coventry lost 2-1 to QPR.
Yeah, people forget he doesn't play as a nine. He may have 16 goals for Coventry, but he plays on the wing. And this is probably why. His versatility, he's so good in between space. He's a big frame, but he's got this to his game as well.
Haji Wright and Coventry finishing the season ninth in the table. Not good enough for the promotion playoffs, but shout out to Josh Sargent and Norwich. They're in there with a chance to move up to the Premier League. Speaking of the Premier League, plenty of Premier League talk over on ESPN FC 7 days a week. Here on ESPN Plus, big week coming up with the Champions League second legs. All right, time for Herc's favorite, the play-in games down in Liga MX, the last of which was Sunday night between Pachuca and Necaxa. Pachuca playing their third game in, I don't know, 6 days on the calendar, but really 5 days if you're just going off hours. Pachuca won 2-1 thanks to a couple late goals. The game was not without drama or incident, though. Usama Idrissi, one of Pachuca's best players, was sent off late, which means he is going to miss the first leg of the quarterfinal, which, surprise, surprise, will be against none other than Club America.
Say
it's America
with your chest,
Pachuca,
Sam.
A rematch, of course, of the CONCACAF Champions Cup semifinals. That's the 1-8. The 2-7 is Cruz Azul Pumas, an all Mexico City affair. 3-6, Toluca against Chivas and Rayados against Tigres. The Clásico Regio there in the 4-5 matchup. First legs are Wednesday and Thursday this week. Kirk, many people are saying that Pachuca are the worst possible matchup for Club America. You agree?
I think that is evident. Like, listen, you got to tell me where your confidence meter is right now or where your primo's confidence meter is if he's going to bet
el
some
primo,
money
primo.
On
that. No. El primo doesn't bet on Club America because the heart can only take so much.
Okay.
Look, the primo wants another shot at Pachuca. The primo really believes that Club America is a better team than Pachuca. Is he disappointed in what happened in the CONCACAF Champions Cup? Yes. Does he acknowledge that Pachuca were the better team over those two legs? Yes, absolutely. But the primo believes in Club America. He believes in the number one seed. He believes in the defending champion. And he believes that Pachuca is basically dead on their feet. Herc, what is this? Their sixth game in 16 days? I get it. There's not a lot of other teams, right, that scare me more than Pachuca. In fact, there's really only two, Tigres and Rayados. And I know that's not based on history, that's just based on their rosters. But come on, they're the eighth seed, Herc. America fans have to be confident, they have to go for revenge, and I have to believe that this America team, with a week to rest up, is going to be ready to go and knock Pachuca into oblivion.
Yeah, I saw Lichnowsky at the Miami Grand Prix. He looked very rested. Can I start really quickly with just this play-in format, how stupid and terrible it is as an idea for the second season in a row. 1-8 end up making the Fiesta Final, the Liguilla, this playoff. So these matches, these playing games that you're doing are just stupid. It's congesting the schedule even more. They're anticlimactic. Pachuca is playing in a half-empty stadium. I don't even know, because they said it was for money, how much money you're actually getting out of this. I got it during the pandemic. You need the repechaje, you need the play-in, you need to stroke a fire under these marketing dollars, whatever the case may be. You don't need it now. If anything, it just ruins these players' legs. You mentioned Pachuca. Wow, like how unfortunate it is for them. Since the day they beat America in the second leg of the CONCACAF Champions League final to the final of the CONCACAF Champions Cup, okay, in June, the first day of June, if they make it to the final of Liga MX, they will play 9 games, okay? That is a game every 3 days. How unfortunate and unfair that is for them to have to be in that position heading in to represent Mexico in a continental final. Columbus Crew will play 5, by the way. And let's say they get eliminated.
Don't finish 8th.
Let's say they finish really quickly. They get eliminated by Club America this week. By this weekend, they are done. It's going to be about 2.5 weeks until they play their next game. So incredibly unfair, the calendar to Pachuca. But if America do not beat this team that you called dead in the water, and you may be right, because They're going to play, right now they've played in the last 7 days, 3 games. If they can't beat a team that is not only missing one of their best players, but will have little to no legs when they do play, if they can't beat that, heads are gonna roll. I don't know if Jardine makes this. I hope he does. I think he's a very good coach, but I don't know how Santiago Baños, Jardine, or anybody else, one of those players, can survive this type of catastrophic failure. You get eliminated by Pachuca in the CONCACAF Champions Cup.
What about that league title? What about that league title? That don't buy you some love? That don't buy you some time?
This is America. You tell me. You tell me if you feel confident that nobody
I wouldn't get,
nobody
if they go out against Pachuca, I wouldn't get rid of Jardine. I wouldn't get rid of Jardine if they
either.
Go out against Pachuca.
I wouldn't
either. That would
either.
Be a bad move for
I wouldn't
Club
either,
America.
But you bet your damn
mistake.
Life if they do not eliminate Pachuca, if they are out, if they are eliminated against Pachuca that night, the punditry circle, late night, okay, everywhere from ESPN to the other networks, 3 or 4 networks, they're going to ask the question, is Jardine's job safe or should he go? That's going to be the first thing that they put on the mesa, on the table.
I love how you mentioned ESPN's name, but the other networks, unnamed. Unnamed here on Football Americas. What about the 3-6, Herc? Toluca against Chivas. A lot of people with some interest in this one, especially those on our production team. Who you betting on this series? Not the teams, but the individuals. Piojo Alvarado or Alexis Vega to have a bigger impact?
Ooh, listen, you know I called Alexis Vega doing well as soon as he left Chivas. I saw that one coming. You know that. But Piojo Alvarado doing well at Chivas is not something I saw coming. And the way they are playing, Piojo Alvarado is a man possessed. There are many out there calling for this guy to have a much more prominent role on the Mexican national team. I don't know if I'm ready for that, but certainly he's a different player. He's a difference maker. And when you talk about this Chivas, there is no hotter team right now in all of Mexican football than Chivas. Undefeated in their last 6 games, Seb, 5 of those games are wins. We are talking about a different team, a team that in that run has faced America, has faced Monterrey, has faced Pachuca, and come unscathed. This is a different team. They are pragmatic. They are difficult to play against. They are stingy defensively, and they score when they need to. I will take Chivas in this match. Oh, by the way, they actually did beat Toluca when they faced each other in the league play.
So I'm going Piojo over Alexis Vega, but that has more to do with Piojo and Alexis rather than Chivas Toluca. I think Toluca's getting a little disrespected here, Herc. Are you saying that Chivas is going to win the first leg or advance overall?
Advance overall. Yeah, and I want people out there to keep an eye on what's going on with Thiago Volpi, the goalkeeper for Toluca. He's got a very rocky relationship with the Toluca fans. Most fans don't like him. He's one of their top goal scorers. Why? Because he takes penalty kicks. He missed 2 penalty kicks against Cruz Azul the last game, his last league game. Let's see how his mental state is going into this game. I've always been told, you don't want a shaky goalkeeper. That's not something you want. Thiago Volpi, in one of these 2 games, maybe in for an error or 2.
All right. Toluca had some pretty impressive results down the back end of the season. I am picking them. However, Wednesday, Herc, the Primo was looking at the odds. Chivas at home. Plus 130. I mean, based on what you're saying, that's an incredible value, right?
Insane. They beat Chivas in the Akron. They beat Toluca
Chivas
in the Akron.
Chivas beat Toluca.
Yeah, so I like that. And if they were to do something in this series, they need to take care of business at home.
There you go. Plus 130 Wednesday, Chivas. The Primo will not be taking that. He would never invest in Chivas, but somebody else might be wise to do so. Let's talk about the Clásicos, because we got a couple of them, Herc, in the quarterfinals. We got an all-Mexico City affair, Cruz Azul and Pumas. And then, of course, El Clásico Regio, Rayados against Tigres. Which one do you think will be more entertaining?
See, this is production trying to goat me into reaction, and I don't appreciate it. I know how you guys work in production. I know how you work, Sebi.
What do you mean you are? I'm not in production, don't you? What do you mean?
I know how you send your...
You blame... Yeah. First of all, you blame me or you blame production? Choose.
Both of you sending each other your little WhatsApp.
Mira, look at what this guy's doing. Get him out of here.
So they're trying to say that the Clásico Regio is never entertaining. That it disappoints is what you're trying to go for.
Not the last one.
That couldn't be further from the truth. And there's so much more on the line in this Clásico Regio. This is a Clásico Regio where if Rayados de Monterrey do not come out victorious, do not come out on the other side, we may see the end of Tano Ortiz. Fracaso in the CONCACAF Champions Cup at the hands of Columbus. They embarrassed this team at home. a much bigger coach in Victor Manuel Vucetic with a much better resume, championships to his name, equity in that club, was let go for less. 40 points in a calendar, or sorry, not a calendar year, in a regular season, historic Liga MX right there, achievement, and he was let go because they lost at the hands of Tigres. If they blow this again, because I have to remind you, Rayados only has one win in the last 7 games against Tigres. 2 wins in the last 13. In fact, the last 4 elimination games or series, they've been bounced by Tigres in league play, Liguilla, and CONCA Champions. So any way you slice it, he gone if he don't win. On the other side, Cruz Azul Pumas, that's a pick 'em for me. That is a massive pick 'em for me. They just tied 0-0 the last time they played. Pumas is a team that looks like a different team the last 5 games. They've only given up 2 goals. They beat America at Seoul. That really is a pick 'em for me, the way that Cruz Azul is playing. I know they're not deep, but those are 2 very good squads. That's a pick 'em. I don't know how entertaining it will be. It could be very rigid affairs, but the entertainment value is on the other side because something will happen.
So it's interesting to hear you say that Tano will be out if Rayados go down. What about Siboldi and Tigres? What if they go out?
They just picked up. They're coming off of 2 finals and a championship that they won. I think he's got a little bit of credit right there.
You look at these 2 clasicos, you got an idea if the finalist, the champion, is coming out of it?
I do. I really think at least finalist comes out of that Tigres Monterrey side.
Oh, come on, go the distance. You don't think the winner comes out of the Clásico Regio? Come on, back your teams. Are you scared of Pachuca too?
A little. You know what they do to Regios? You know what Pachuca does to Regios? The same thing they do to Chivas in America. The same thing. They own them. I really think this is Pachuca's year. I really think this is their season. But if they don't have the legs, I can't bet with them. So I back one of the Regios to make the final.
Okay, so you're back in the Regios. You see anything else there that looks like a good value? I mean, if you're telling me Pachuca at plus 1,200, but give me something else. Chivas at plus 1,000. I know some folks in the production room right now are going crazy opening up their apps trying to get some action
I like Pumas. I think that's great value for a team that's defending insanely well. They've given up 2 goals in the last 5 games. They've played some big teams like Cruz Azul, like Club America. They came out on the other side versus Club America. Seoul is a very difficult place to play. You've got 2 very big framed nines in Memo Martinez and in Funes Mori that can cause some damage. You've got some pacey wingers. This is a team right now that's defending well, and it's got a keeper that's been known to make some massive saves. I wouldn't mind a plus 1,200 on Pumas.
Wow, on Pumas to win it all.
The value. I'm not saying they will. I'm just saying the value.
Pumas
that's a...
at all, man. I remember early in the season you were telling me that the team to be feared was Cruz Azul. What happened?
Well, they got 2nd place in the league, so I was right. You know?
Yeah, but now you're telling me they're going to go home to a team that was just in the repechaje.
Well, they're not deep. That's my issue.
On penalties.
That's my issue with Cruz Azul. Cruz Azul isn't a deep team. They lose 1-2 players, bad run of form, whatever the case may be. They're going to struggle, but they're an excellently coached team. Like, Anselmi really has this team. It's a well-worked team, and they can cause a lot of damage. But you know how this is? You know how this is, Sebi? In Liguilla, in playoffs, you've got to be pragmatic. You've got to know how to defend. And if you're not deep and you're not a defensive team, that could be an issue.
Herc's picking the upsets. Loves the lower seeds in the Liga MX quarterfinals.
Upset would be Rayados winning.
There he is, Hercules Gomez. All right, let's move on to the National Women's Soccer League, which had match day 8 of 26. Going down this past weekend, Angel City 2-1 winners at Utah on Friday. Seattle 2-1 winners over San Diego Friday night in a game that featured multiple red cards. Gotham 1 over North Carolina on Saturday. Portland made it 3 in a row with a win over Washington on Saturday. We had a triple header Sunday. Orlando beating Louisville, Chicago beating Bay FC, and Houston and Kansas City playing to a 1-1 draw in Houston. More on the weekend that was. Let's welcome into the show our very own defending NWSL champion, Allie Krieger. There she is. Allie, I hope we haven't taken away too much time for your TST prep here. Tournament's coming up. I don't want to be blamed for anything if we're not 100% in shape.
No, good thing we're getting to bed early right after this.
There we go.
Properly hitting the gym, doing all the things. I'm going to be ready to win.
All right, our TST group reveal special, of course, tomorrow here on ESPN+. Let's get into the weekend that we just witnessed, Allie, in our game of the week, Orlando against Louisville. It's a game that only featured 1 goal, so I'm assuming, Allie, you as the defender picked it as the game of the week between Orlando and Louisville. We'll pick this one up 17 minutes in. Barbara Banda, the Zambian international, with the goal to make it 1-0 Orlando.
Yeah, I mean, she has been playing brilliant for them, and she had just recently arrived. And she has done so well. She has 4 goals in 4 matches. They're unbeaten now in 8 matches, the first 8 matches of the season. This is an Orlando Pride that is definitely different from the past, especially because I was a part of that past, you know, for about 5 seasons. And the start to the season that they're having has probably been the best since their first season in the NWSL. So this is a really exciting team. They are definitely showing that they have an identity. They look fully prepared defensively. They're organized. Attacking-wise, they're not afraid to go forward. They have so many different individuals in the front six that are sharing the ball, making each other look good, setting each other up for success. I'm assuming that there's going to be a few more fans wanting to come to their games now that they are sitting at the top of the table. They are very impressive. And obviously, I really respect and value Seb Hines because not only did he help me get back to the national team back in 2019, and not many people know this, but he actually spent a lot of time with me individually training in order to get me back in shape, to get back to the full team and get ready and prepared for whenever I got that call again, you know, about 2 months before the 2019 World Cup. So I owe a lot to him, and I know how good he is, and I know how calm his presence is, and the information and the knowledge that he's giving these players. It is really great to see him succeed in this position. He deserves it. He's really good at what he does. And you can tell that the personnel that, you know, they enjoy playing with each other. He has great leadership. I just have a lot of good things to say because I was there, and it definitely didn't feel as good as in this moment for the, you know, this season for the Orlando Pride. So I am actually really happy that they are doing what they need to do in order to be successful. And this is definitely a shift that we haven't seen yet for them.
Interesting you mentioned Seb Hines. When I made my picks for biggest turnaround, I went with Orlando. Hines was part of it. Haley Cardo, who's running the show down there, was another big part of it. With Orlando, it's always been like, where's the ambition? When they spent $750,000 to go out and get Barbara Banda, you said, okay, that's some serious ambition right there. And they've won 5 in a row, Allie. You know how hard it is to do that in the NWSL, and they've done it in every which way, right? They've had 3 1-0 wins in that stretch. They put up some crooked numbers as well, some 3s and 4s. So Orlando surely right now coming to the top of the table for good reason. What about our player of the week, Allie? I'm sure you've dipped into the Orlando pool again. This time it's Barbara Banda. What surprises you, or what stands out to you about her play?
I just think the way that she wants the ball, she puts herself in a situation that, you know, she can receive the ball in any type of way, on any type of surface. And I just feel like she just gets into positions, you know, in the mixer, as we should call it, and gets herself, you know, in positions for the ability to score goals. And that's what they've been missing for a long time because, yeah, Marta can do that as well. She's brilliant at it. She's one of the best players in the league. You know, if not the world, obviously we know that. But now you have a player like Banda who can take that on in the front line and really be a target forward. She can run in behind. She's quick. She's intelligent. The vision that she has and just the patience I've seen in the last few games in front of goal has been brilliant. And I think that this is now going to, you know, change the trajectory of the season that they're going to have. And they needed a player like this, and they have filled a hole that has been missing for a long time. And it's exciting to see. I hope she could stay fit and healthy because she deserves to be out there 90 plus minutes every game. And she has been such a solid performer and impact player for them now. And they need her. And she's done brilliantly, even when Marta has been injured for the past couple games. Hopefully she'll be back at some point soon. But they seem to be doing very well in the personnel that they have, and she is the key component in that.
All right, Allie's gone Barbara Banda for her player of the week in the NWSL for match day 8. I'm going a little different. Actually, Allie, with your defensive ways, you would be proud of me here. I'm going with a goalie. I'm going down to Houston, and I'm going with Jane Campbell. Now, listen, I've been critical of Houston on this show, and I think with good reason. A lot of that criticism was aimed at the higher-ups, not necessarily the players, but Allie, we know it's been a rough, let's say, couple weeks, month, for the Houston Dash. So when they're going up against Kansas City, who's putting up 2, 3, 4, 5 against pretty much everybody, and they hold them to a 1-1 draw, I think that's a massive result. That's a stabilizing result. And how about the way that Jane Campbell did it? 12 saves in this game. That's a regular season record. She was all over the place. No Biazanerato for Kansas City in this game. They weren't at full strength, but it's still, Allie, it's still Kansas City, and she almost, you know, kept them off the board entirely there. So great game for Jane Campbell. And I know Alyssa Nair's the number one for at least the next big tournament, but at some point down the road, we're gonna have a conversation, Allie, about the next U.S. goalie. And I think Jane Campbell very much deserves to be in that conversation.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. Obviously, she's been in the conversation for years now. And even when I was still in camp, she was there, consistent. She's super athletic. You need a goalkeeper of her stature and her ability to perform in games like this and perform well, because she is the start of the spine in your team. And your goalkeeper needs to be one of the best players. And, you know, they can win and lose you games. You know, they just make one big play that could save a game or not. And so she has done well, even last year, getting goalkeeper of the year. I mean, now she's building off of that, obviously captain of the team. She brings that confidence. You know, not every game has gone the way that they wanted it to and the way that I feel like, you know, they deserve. But she is really doing an excellent job in keeping that defense somewhat organized. And when not, she shows up in big games. And that's exactly what happened this past weekend. And I hope that she continues this performance and she can get, you know, back into the national team, because she is very athletic. She reminds me of, you know, an Alyssa Nair, as someone who can make big plays and big moments of the game. And so I really hope, and that's what I saw with the national team when she was physically there. So I hope she can get back and into the squad again at some point soon.
A history-making performance for Jane Campbell over the weekend with the Houston Dash. Let's run it back real quick, Allie. We'll go from the NWSL over to Europe, where Katerina Macario is a bit in fuego at the moment. She had 2 assists, Allie, and get this, 10 minutes as Chelsea beat Bristol City 8-0 in the WSL. This has got to help her Olympic chances, no? Especially with Alex Morgan missing the last couple games for San Diego.
100%. I agree. I mean, you can see the immediate impact when she gets into the game. She's brilliant, and I value her so much in the position that she's playing there. She's building that confidence back. She's getting back out on the field, getting minutes, getting reps, everything that you need to be getting before the Olympic tournament or before, you know, that last camp that, you know, where the decisions are going to be made. So she has been excellent. That's all you can do as a player, because you can't control much else other than yourself. So when you get that opportunity, you get into a game, you have to make an impact. You have to prove yourself and you have to make plays. And especially in the attack, players, you know, other players are looking to you to make things happen. And so she gets on the ball. Her vision was great. She's, you know, feeding players in on their back foot. They're creating a lot of chances. And then it's just, you know, putting the ball in the back of the net, which they have players to do that. So she was doing her job. She gets the opportunity. She does well. And this is why I really value her. I appreciate what she brings. I hope that, you know, they can, it's going to be a tough decision, but I hope that they consider her strongly, because she's only getting better ever since she's gotten back. And maybe she is limited to a few minutes here and there, but hopefully by the time the decision day is made for the, you know, the national team Olympic roster, that she will definitely be in the mix.
5 assists in her first 6 WSL games. That ties a record going back to 2020 for Katerina Macario. And she's doing it in front of the person that's going to be making those decisions when it comes to the U.S. women's national team. There she is, Allie Krieger. Allie, as always, great to have you with us here on Football Americas. Thanks for the time.
Thank you, Steve. I'll see you soon.
Our parting shot, Will Ferrell is joining Leeds as a minority investor, Herc. Ooh, what do you think?
I mean, he's adding to that portfolio. He has LAFC. Now he's going to have Leeds and adds quite an element.
Is that Max Barreto's getting some love here? Hey.
Okay, Barreto's getting
Uncle
some love.
Max.
Tony Robbins,
we love
and Barreto's
you,
getting some love. Listen,
keep defending MLS blindly.
It's very rich. It's very rich that after all the, it's the Americans' fault that Leeds are in this situation. They will double down with Will Ferrell, and I am here for it. Take
Let's
that,
go.
Leeds.
I'm surprised he didn't invest in Wrexham. Wasn't he all over the Wrexham documentary for the first couple seasons?
Maybe sure he's better value with the 49ers club.
We're not going to be rooting for him, though, I'll tell you that much. Not in the promotion playoffs, because he's going up against
Norwich.
Josh Sargent's in Norwich. So, you know, we know where our loyalties lie there. That should be a very interesting
one. And if potentially Norwich or Leeds, they could potentially face West Brom Albion, which is Daryl Deacon.
Wow, what a moment it would be. And, of course, the championship available for you right here on ESPN+. All right, that'll do it for this edition of Football Americas, but we have a very special edition for you tomorrow. It's our TST group reveal show, and the list of guests we have, impressive. Chris Paul, J.J. Watt, Chad Ochocinco, Pat McAfee, Jimmy Conrad, Ali Krieger, just to name a few. Do not miss it. It's live at noon Eastern time tomorrow right here on ESPN Plus Football America Special Edition. He's Eric, I'm Seb. Thanks for watching. We'll see you back here in less than 24 hours.
That's right. Champlé. Onesie.